This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We have talked, Lord knows we have talked, about the Federal Reserve on this program and inflation and what Jay and the gang are doing about it, mostly with interest rates. But the Fed does have another tool, as they like to say. It's balance sheet. It's a list of sorts of the Fed's assets and liabilities. And right now, those assets, because of the central bank's big bond buying program, total just shy of $9 trillion, which has gone a very long way to helping keep interest rates so low for so long. The Fed has started letting some of those bonds run off its balance sheet, which will mean exactly what, do you suppose? Marketplace's Lily Jamali has that one.
San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly's office looks out over the San Francisco Bay. The scenery helped her come up with her analogy of choice to explain the Fed's balance sheet. She likens it to a tanker ship.
It is big. It turns, but not with grace. It's not very nimble. You have to know where you're heading and what you're doing, but it ultimately gets you to the point of destination.
The Fed has traditionally relied on adjusting its benchmark rate, which Daly says moves less like a tanker and more like a speedboat. During the financial crisis of 2008, policymakers cut that rate to zero. With so little wiggle room to fix credit markets and help the economy recover, they turned to a less conventional tool for the first time, the balance sheet. And Daly says it's worked well.
I think it's an essential part of our toolkit because ultimately, we have to deliver on the support the economy needs.
But using both tools together can be tricky.
How do we get nimbly somewhere when we've got a speedboat and a tanker ship and we have to move them more or less at the same time?
Because the Fed doesn't want to surprise markets. Late last year, policymakers flagged their plans to start shrinking the balance sheet before they started hiking rates. Daly says the first interest rate hike in March might have come sooner if the balance sheet hadn't been a factor. And there's a lot we don't know about how the balance sheet works, says Harvey Rosenblum. He's the former director of research at the Dallas Fed and now teaches at Southern Methodist University. Like Mary Daly, Rosenblum has his own balance sheet analogy.
A new drug has been invented to deal with a particular problem, but nobody knows what the right dosage is of that drug. Nobody knows what its long-term impact is going to be. Nobody knows whether if you use it too long, it's going to be toxic.
And yet, Fed officials have triggered four waves of asset purchases that have expanded its balance sheet, a process known as quantitative easing, or QE. Three of those waves took place between 2008 and 2014. The fourth came in response to the pandemic. Rosenblum says originally, QE was supposed to be a temporary fix. But like many drugs, it's less effective the more you use it, he says.
And you need a bigger and bigger dose to have the same impact, but you keep getting a smaller impact.
As the Fed has scooped up assets to carry out this policy, some are asking, at what cost? Former Fed economist Andrew Levin, who's now a professor at Dartmouth, says the Fed now owns more than 40% of all residential mortgage-backed securities.
It's got a very big footprint in that market. All the market participants know that. The pension funds, life insurance companies.
Levin worries the purchasing spree has created the potential for distortions in that market and others. He's among those who's now analyzing the costs and benefits of the Fed's balance sheet program. There's much to learn about the balance sheet's effects on the economy, says Megan Green, global chief economist at Kroll and a senior fellow at Brown.
It's not clear that it's the Fed actually buying any of this stuff that moves markets. It could just be their announcement of an intention to, which moves markets.
The central bank has only tried to shrink the balance sheet once before, between 2017 and 2019. It had to stop after short-term borrowing costs spiked. That's the kind of volatility policymakers at the Fed want to avoid this time around. In San Francisco, I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.